إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 12th session with the topic at tawakkul, tawakkul ala Allah, trust, dependence and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the original topic is from the presentation of the Shaykh al-Alama, Salih ibn Fawzan ibn Abdullah, Ali Fawzan, hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. The last couple of sessions, we have been reading some questions and answers. The first questions were from the Shaykh himself, and then questions from Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad al-Badr. Hafidhum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to read from Al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, from some of his fatawa on a topic that we have discussed previously in the original presentation of the book. In which I felt that he presented in a manner that, and he brings the topic to greater light and makes it much more clear. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to read from his fatawa, topic which is entitled Al-Iman Bil-Qadr Yattafiq Mal Asbab. Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, yani a person having iman in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is in agreement with, in accordance with, in harmony with, utilizing the means to achieve a thing. And if there's no contradiction or conflict between believing that everything is going to be as Allah decreed it, and then knowing that is a fact, still going out and utilizing the legitimate and lawful means to achieve a goal. There's no contradiction between the two. Before we look at his topic, we're going to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 11. And I unfortunately didn't print out any copies of the study guide last week. But if you look on the back side of the one for tonight, those questions from last week are there. At least you can follow us. If you didn't have a chance to look at them last week, inshallah, you can follow us as we go through them tonight. So the questions from last week, the first question was, mention the definition offered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was asked about al-fa'l, yani optimism or being optimistic, and give an example. Okay, so, naam, follow? Fadl.
The definition the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave was that it was a kalimatu tayyibah.
Naam, al-kalimatu tayyibah, naam.
It activates good, stimulates the Muslim, as opposed to being pessimistic, which is slow Muslim down.
Okay, it activates a person and makes them to be energetic and going about what they're doing with an optimistic outlook. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about this thing, al-fa'l, he mentioned, yani he defined it as being al-kalima al-tayyiba. Yani it is a good word. Yani a word that is a source or cause of a person being optimistic. And the example that the Shaykh gave, he said, for example, a person is in the market, engaged in business and trade, and they hear somebody call out to another one, ya rabihu. Yani he's calling out to someone by this word, which means a person who is going to be making profit in their business. So the person who hears that, it causes him to be optimistic that he's going to be profitable in his business. So this is the example that the Shaykh gave. And he said, it could be a name, it could be a word that is a cause of a person being optimistic as opposed to being pessimistic. And this is, it's only good because yani it is something that enables the person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act in a way. Yani optimism means that Allah is in control of everything. So a Muslim should be yani optimistic. Now, you want to add something?
No, I was wondering if this could be related to like when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to give a kunya to a young child.
No, like a person who's given a kunya, or even the person's name. The parents name a child with a name, and that name, it should be anticipated that that name is going to be an influence on the child because of the meaning of that name. Whether it's a kunya or the name of the child. Yani when you name a child with a good name, then that name, inshallah, should have a good influence. Yani the meaning, that meaning being in the mind of the child every time they hear that name. And that should be a good influence. Now, the second question, does a person's optimism due to someone being with him in business, due to the presence of someone with him in his business, or whatever he's doing, does this negate the perfection of his tawakkul? Now, Abdul Wali?
No. Not if he puts his trust in Allah.
No.
This person has expertise or experience or knowledge
of the area that they're working in, and he sees this as one of the asbab, as just a means, like any other thing that you use to, yani to achieve your goal. Yani the automobile that you use for transportation, or the tools that you use to fix something, those are just means to achieve the goal. And likewise, having someone with you who has knowledge or expertise or training or experience in something is also considered to be from the means, except that a person should not put their trust in and depend and rely upon that person or any means, but rather our trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the only one who can bring about the result. The third question mentioned the awsaf, or the characteristics or qualities of the 70,000 people who will enter paradise without hisab and without adab. Yani the 70,000 people who the Prophet ﷺ mentioned would enter the paradise without any account being taken of them, and without them being punished before entering the paradise. Without being accounted for and without being punished, what were those characteristics? He mentioned four things about them. Naam, fadl.
They do not seek others to perform ruqya upon them. That they do not believe in bad omens,
mm-hmm.
and that they do not cauterize themselves or use cauterization for healing, and that they rely upon Allah alone.
Now, those people are people who do not seek someone else to perform ruqya on them, to recite upon them ayahs from the Quran or something from the Sunnah that's authentic, that is a means of healing. They don't seek somebody else to do that for them. Nor do they regard or accept or consider something to be a bad omen that can deter their movement or their action based on something that appeared before them. Nor do they yani cauterize themselves. They didn't use the hot iron yani as a means of healing, though it is yani it does have some benefit and it can be a means of healing. And finally he said that they are those who put their trust in Allah alone. They depend on Allah alone. Question number four, is the hadith of the 70,000 people who enter paradise without accounting, without punishment, a proof? Is this hadith a proof for not utilizing the means? Explain. And in brief, this is a lengthy yani topic here. The Shaykh discussed it in length, but yani the summary of it, now, fadl.
No, this is not a proof that I'm not utilizing the means.
It's not a proof. It's not a proof for somebody who claims we don't utilize the means. Now, Now, so these are people in this hadith that from their descriptions is that they were those who عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They used to put their trust in Allah alone. So they had a high level of tawakkul, yani kamal al-tawakkul, and that Kamal al-Tawakkul, the perfection of their Tawakkul, would not be completely nullified, yani the Tawakkul wouldn't be nullified, but the level of perfection would be decreased by certain things. So from amongst those things is that a person goes to somebody else to perform ruqya on them. They go to somebody else because of the effect that it has on the heart, being inclined to the one that you go to asking them to do ruqya for you. So this decreases the perfection of a person's tawakkul on Allah. For that reason, they didn't do it. But doing ruqya in itself doesn't affect the perfection of tawakkul. But seeking somebody else because of what happens to the heart, yani in reference to the person that you're going to. And as far as the yani cauterization, the Shaykh, he said that even though it is a means of yani treatment for sickness, and even though it has benefit in it, but also there's hurt and harm and pain and damage to the body by using this fire or this hot iron, and for that reason they didn't use that particular means, not they didn't use any means. So these two things that's mentioned in this hadith are only certain things that they didn't use because of its effect in decreasing the perfection of their high level of tawakkul. And this hadith is not at all an indication that a person shouldn't utilize any means. Rather, the Shaykh says that the Prophet ﷺ, who was the master of the people who put their trust in Allah, he pointed to and indicated and taught the people many means of healing, for example, that are collected by Ibn al-Qayyim and other scholars in At-Tibb al-Nabawi, yani the prophetic medicine, which indicate that the use of these means for healing or for other than that yani are legislated in Islam, and that they have no contradiction, or yani they don't negate the perfection of a person's tawakkul. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ said that there's no sickness that Allah has sent down except that He has sent down a healing for it. And those who know it, and those who don't know it, don't know it. He ordered us to seek yani the cure, seek healing for one's sickness. Naam. Question number 5 mentioned the statement of Ibn Qayyim, which shows the error of expressions like self-confidence or self-reliance. Self-confidence or self-reliance. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, now.
Confidence is the core of tawakkul. Tawakkul is for Allah alone. And Shaykh Yusuf Hadith, O Allah, do not leave.
Before that. That was the next question. The first part of the question, Ibn Qayyim said that yani al-thiqa, yani this confidence is the core, the heart, the essence of tawakkul. And tawakkul is for Allah alone. So this thiqa, this confidence that is the core of tawakkul, yani also cannot be yani in anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what Ibn Qayyim said. Yani that al-thiqa, it should be confidence in Allah, because thiqa is the core of tawakkul, and tawakkul is for Allah alone. The second question, which he began to answer also, question number 6, discussed Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim's rejection of the use of such expressions like "I have confidence in myself," like saying "I have confidence in myself."
This comes from a person who has no insight and is incorrect aqeedah.
Okay, no, I'm sorry.
And the Prophet ﷺ used this hadith, "Dua, O Allah, do not leave me to myself even for the blinking of an eye."
No.
Then where are we to use such expressions?
So the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullah, in his fatwa, when he was asked about the use of such expressions, his fatwa was that it's not permissible to do so. How can a person say such a thing as "I have confidence in myself" while it has been authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ that he used to supplicate, saying, "Oh Allah, do not leave me to rely upon myself even for the blinking of an eye"? How then can a Muslim, after the Prophet ﷺ has taught us to supplicate to Allah, "Don't leave me to myself, to rely, to depend upon myself, even for one second, for one moment," how then can a Muslim say, "I have self-confidence, I have confidence in myself"? Rather, al-thiqa is, yani confidence should be in Allah alone. The last question, number 7, summarize what is intended by the hadith, "By Allah, it is not poverty about which I fear in regard to you." Yani the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that it's not poverty that I fear for my ummah, But rather I fear that the world would be opened up and given to my ummah. Yani that they would have plenty of the worldly things as it happened to the people before them. And they would vie with one another for those worldly things as the people before did, and it would destroy them as it destroyed the people before. So the meaning of this hadith, the Shaykh says, is not that people... you want to answer? Yeah. Fadl.
This hadith is talking about worldly things, and the Prophet ﷺ feared that the people would go to extremes trying to gain the things of this dunya. Instead, we should have a balance and seek the hereafter and the pleasure of the law. However, they can seek their portion of this dunya by Allah's means.
Naam. So basically, yani the Shaykh is saying that this hadith is an indication that the Sharia of Islam came with i'tidal, that a person should have balance. That in terms of the worldly affairs, a person should utilize the lawful and legal means to seek business or trade or farming or cattle or whatever. Yani the lawful means, they should utilize those things, but they shouldn't make the seeking of worldly things the extent of their knowledge, that's all they know, or the end goal in their life. This is the main purpose of living. Rather, their main concern should be seeking the pleasure of Allah and the reward of Allah and the home of the hereafter. And at the same time, while that being the main concern, the balance is that a person does not forget about their portion in this world, that they utilize the lawful means to seek the things of this world, putting their trust in Allah in seeking those things, but not letting it become our main concern. So these are some of the things that we talked about last week. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be looking at what has been entitled al-iman. Yani the issue is al-iman bil-qadr yattafiq ma'al asbab. Yani that having iman in the divine decree is in harmony with utilizing the means to achieve something. Utilizing the means. There's no contradiction between them. Yani there's no contradiction between the affirmation of iman in the divine decree and the utilizing of the means to achieve a thing. Rather, utilizing those means are part of believing in the divine decree. So we looked at something like this previously in some of the discussion that we had in earlier sessions, and that is, we looked at how some people claimed that because of their tawakkul ala Allah, that there was no need for them to utilize the means. And the Shaykh, he said, from amongst the things that he said in response to this, is that utilizing the means has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah commanded us to utilize the means, so we have to utilize them. Likewise, the Shaykh responded by saying that the Prophet ﷺ utilized the means. Yani that he wore body armor, that he wore a helmet on the battlefield, that he utilized clothing, for example, to protect himself from extreme cold, and so on. That he did all of these things, that he ate and drank to nourish and maintain his health. So the Prophet ﷺ, who is the best of the people, put their trust in Allah, he utilized the means. And another argument that he made is that when some people came from Yemen to perform Hajj without provisions, Allah reprimanded them, rebuked them, and commanded them to take provisions for the journey. All of these are arguments against this idea that a person can just put their trust in Allah. They have such great dependence on Allah that they don't need to utilize the means. Here the Shaykh takes it from another angle, and he shows us that not only that which has preceded, but also he takes it to another level, and he says that utilizing the means is in fact a way to perfect one's iman in the divine decree. Utilizing the means is a way to perfect one's iman in the divine decree. And even the Shaykh had mentioned earlier, in some of the earlier sessions we mentioned, that some people said, if Allah had decreed this for me, I don't need to do anything, it's just going to happen anyway. So he argues against this point in this particular topic that we're going to talk about tonight. And I hope that inshallah will be beneficial to all of us. And may Allah reward the one who facilitated this topic to come to us. While I was totally unaware of it. So there are several points here that the Shaykh mentions. that I want to emphasize and focus on so that we get the full benefit of what he said here. So if I any stop for a moment and pause on a point, it's because I want to make sure that it's understood. Actually, I read this topic like I don't know how many times. And every time I read it, it became more and more clear to me. Certain things that were not initially clear became clear from reading and rereading. So some of those points, inshallah, hopefully, if Allah has blessed me to understand them correctly, hopefully, yani you will also any benefit from that. The Shaykh, he begins by saying, and this is his opening statement. And sometimes the opening statement may be the most important thing that's said. He said, مُبَاشَرَةُ الْأَسْبَابِ, that's one thing. وَالْإِجْتِهَادُ فِي الْعَمَالِ النَّافِيَةِ, that's a second thing. تُحَقِّقُ لِلْعَبْدِ تَمَامَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَضَرِ. يعني a person directly applying oneself in utilizing the means to achieve something. And what do we mean by the means? We mean that if a person wants to fix a car, then they need certain tools, right? They need tools to take certain parts of the car apart in order to fix it. So these tools are means. If a person is sick, they might take certain medications in order to heal their body or to cure their sickness. These are means. So the things that we use to achieve a goal, that's what we're talking about when we say the asbab, the means. So the Shaykh is saying here that a person directly applying themselves to utilizing the means, and they're making an effort, ijtihad, in doing al-a'mal al-nafiyah, yani those deeds, those actions that are beneficial, doing things that are beneficial. Meaning they're beneficial because we know from the world around us, from experience, that certain things have a certain effect. There's a cause and effect relationship in the natural world, according to what Allah has decreed, yani the things to be like this. And we also might know that there's a certain result or effect from something from the Sharia, from the Quran or from the Sunnah, that Allah made us to know that if you recite this, this will be the result. If you, yani, do this act of worship, this will be the result. So we know that there are things that do have a cause and effect relationship, whether it's in the natural world or in the yani spiritual affairs of the religion. So the Shaykh is saying here that a person directly applying these means and making an effort to do beneficial deeds and actions, making an effort, not just haphazardly allowing things to happen and however it unfolds, but actually striving to do so. He said, this, doing these things, will enable the person to, yani, tahqiq, to haqqiqu, to actualize, to realize the completion and the perfection of the iman in al-qadha wal-qadr. So a person, a Muslim, has iman in the qadha of Allah, in the qadr of Allah. A Muslim has iman in, this is from the pillars of iman. But the completion and the perfection of that iman is by a person utilizing the means that Allah has made lawful and that Allah has legislated. Utilizing those means and striving and struggling, making an effort, yani, to apply those things. In this way, a person completes and perfects one's iman in al-qadha wal-qadha. So if we know that al-iman bil-qadha wal-qadha, we know that this is from the arkan of iman, the fundamental pillars of iman, then we know the importance of this particular affair. So then how much more important is it for a person to perfect and to complete this iman? And from the means to do so, the Shaykh is saying here, is that a person utilize the means and that they strive and struggle and make an effort to do those beneficial things that enable them to reach the goal. And then he says, as a proof of this, and if you think about it, it's crystal clear, but he doesn't leave it for that, but he also brings a proof from the Sharia. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْمَقَادِرَ بِأَسْبَابِهَا وَتُرُكِهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decreed the decrees, when He fixed the decrees, the things that He decreed to happen in this world, when He fixed those things, when He decreed them, He decreed along with them the means, the asbab and the turuk, yani the means for those things to happen. The way, the path. paths for a person to travel to reach those destinations. Yani Allah decreed that a person is going to become rich. A particular person is going to be rich. So when He decreed that end result, that the person is going to be rich, He also decreed, He decreed along with that the road, the path that the person is going to take to get rich. How are they going to get rich? Allah decreed that as part of it. What are the means that they're going to use? Yani the expertise, the experience, the knowledge, the money that they have, that they're going to invest. All of that, the ways and the means to reach that goal of the thing that Allah decreed, are part of Allah's decree. And nobody can deny that. That if Allah decreed a person to be rich, He also decreed how that person is going to get rich. That's part of the decree. So the Shaykh is saying here that indeed Allah, when He fixed the decrees, along with it, He attached to it the means for those things to happen and the path or the ways, the roads that a person is going to travel in order for those things to occur, to come into existence. And then He makes another statement. Second statement. تلك الأسباب والطرق هي محل حكمة الله فإن الحكمة وضع الأشياء مواضعها وتنزيل الأمور منازلها اللائقة. That these means and these ways, these paths that Allah decreed along with the decrees, that they are the place of the manifestation of Allah's hikmah. Yani, in what Allah decreed, in Allah's decrees, it's not haphazard. It's based upon hikmah. Yani, and hikmah, the Shaykh says, is putting things in their proper place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He decreed whatever He decreed, that decree is based on wisdom. It's meaning that everything is put in its proper place. And the manifestation of that wisdom is in the means and the paths that Allah also decreed along with the end result. Yani that's the manifestation of the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani hikmah means putting everything in its proper place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that He decreed is properly arranged. Everything is in its proper place. So that these means and that these paths are part of the decree of Allah, and they are also the place, the mawdi' or the manifestation of the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh makes a third statement, فَقَضَاءُ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرُهُ وَحِكْمَتُهُ مُتَّفِقَاتِ. That Allah's qada and Allah's qadr and Allah's hikmah, His wisdom, all of these things are in agreement with one another. All of them are in harmony with one another. مُتَّفِقَاتِ. كل واحد منها يمد الآخر ولا يناقضه. So every one of them, the qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah and the hikmah of Allah, each one of them supports the other one. They do not contradict one another. What's the point here though? The point here is that yani it's the importance of understanding that utilizing the means to achieve a goal, that it's necessary. It's part of what Allah has decreed. It's part of what Allah has legislated. It's what Allah has commanded us with. It's the example of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And nobody should expect anything to happen of good, to achieve anything of good, to reach any goal, except that they utilize the means that are lawful and that are legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important for us to understand that there's no contradiction between these things. A person believes in the decree of Allah, that Allah has fixed everything before it happened, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth, and it's going to happen the way He decreed it. And a part of that is the means that we're going to use for those things to happen and the path that we're going to travel. So a person has to be diligent in utilizing those means and traveling those paths that are known in the natural world and physical science, or that are known from the Sharia. So this point, that there's no contradiction between what Allah has decreed and the means to achieve those things, is proven in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ pointed to this reality when he was asked. It was said to him, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ رُقًا نَسْتَرْقِيهَا وَأَدْوِيَةً نَتَدَاوَى بِهَا وَتُقَاتًا نَتَّقِيهَا هَلْ تَرُدُّ مِنْ قَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. Or in the narrations, yani the wording actually came, هَلْ تَرُدُّ مِنْ قدر الله. Do these things avert or prevent, yani, or repulse the decree of Allah? Yani, these things, what are those things they ask? They say, what about the ruqa? Yani, the ruqya, the things that we recite as a means of healing or a means of protection. Yani, spiritual healing. And that spiritual healing is not just for spiritual disease, even for physical sickness. As we mentioned on more than one occasion, the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in Sahih Muslim, in which is reported that a companion of the Prophet ﷺ recited Surah Al-Fatiha on a man that was stung by a scorpion. And that recitation of Al-Fatiha upon that person caused him to be physically healed. So this ruqa, they said, what about these things that we recite for healing? And these adwiya, or dawa, medicines that we take, yani, seeking cure from them. And these things that we use as a means to protect ourselves, the caution that we take to protect ourselves from harm. Does this avert the decree of Allah? Do these things actually stop what Allah decreed? Do they repulse them? Do they turn them back? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani, came here, hiya min qada'ihi wa qadrihi. And in the hadith it came, the wording actually same meaning, that hiya or huwa min qadrihi, min qadrillah, that these things are from the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to mention here that it's mentioned here in the book that this hadith is reported by al-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, from the hadith of Abi Khizama from his father, and al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah said this hadith is Hasan. Hadith is also reported by Ibn Majah and Ahmed and others, and in some of the checkings of the hadith of the Sunan of al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said that the hadith is da'if. However, in his takhrij of this hadith in another book, yani Mushkilat al-Faqr, he mentions that this hadith is Hasan, and he mentions some of the other narrations and what the scholars said about them, yani, due to which he determined that the hadith is Hasan. And the reason why I'm saying that is because perhaps a person might do what I did, look up the hadith and look for the grade of the hadith, and they might find that some scholars said this hadith is weak. It has some weakness in it, but due to other narrations that support it, Shaykh al-Albani said that the hadith, he, yani, hopes that this hadith reaches the level of Hasan. So this is a very important hadith. The fact that the Shaykh al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah used this hadith as a proof here is an indication to me, and Allah knows best, that he considered it to be at least Hasan. Otherwise he's not going to be using it. And the fact that Shaykh Abdul Razak, also in his discussion concerning the topic of tawakkul, also mentioned this hadith in his book, is also proof that, in my mind, that he considered this hadith at least to be Hasan. So, in case anybody might wonder about the authenticity of this hadith, there are several scholars of the past and contemporary scholars who definitely considered this hadith to be a legitimate, acceptable hadith. This hadith proves what? It proves that utilizing different types of means, whether they are physical means like medicines, or whether they are spiritual means like ruqya, that these things do not avert the decree of Allah. Rather, they are part of the decree of Allah. They are also decreed by Allah. Allah decreed that a person is going to do ruqya. Allah decreed that a person is going to take some pills, some medicine. All that is part of the decree. And He also decreed whether or not it's going to have an effect, if it's going to benefit that person or not. And that's why two people who have the same sickness can take the same medicine, and one of them is cured by it and the other one is not. Because it's by Allah's decree. These things do have benefit, but only by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we utilize the means which we know to be effective, but we also know that they don't have any power in themselves. Allah is the one who controls everything. And there's no benefit and there's no harm except it's from what Allah has decreed. Allah is the one who benefits, Allah is the one who harms. It is Allah's will, yani, that will be executed. Whatever He wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be. The control of the affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after this, the Shaykh, he mentions concerning this hadith, which mentions two specific types of means of healing for sickness. He said, فَهَذِهِ الْأَسْبَابِ حِصِّيَّةِ وَمَعْنَوِيَّةِ رُحَانِيَّةِ وَحِمْيَةٌ عَمَّا يَدُرُ وَهِيَ فِي مُقَدِّمَةِ الْأَسْبَابِ وأخبر صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها من قضاء الله وقدره. He said that these things, these asbab that are mentioned in this hadith specifically are حصية, يعني physical, material means, and معنوية روحانية, يعني abstract or spiritual means. يعني the ruqya is a spiritual means, and the medicines are physical means. So he said that these asbab are حصية and they are معنوية روحانية. And they are things that we use to protect ourselves from harm. And these are in the forefront of means that people use. They are the most prominent of means that people use. And the Prophet ﷺ informed us that they are part of the qada wa Allah and his qadr. That they are part of it. They are not in contradiction to it. They are not in opposition to it. Rather, they are in harmony with it. They are a part of it. Conclusion. Any conclusion of this, of these statements of the Shaykh? The Shaykh concludes, فَمَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ بِالْقَدْرِ وَقَدْ تَرَكَ الْأَسْبَابَ النَّافِيَةَ الدِّينِيَّةَ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَّةَ الَّتِي عَلَيْهَا نِظَامُ الْقَدْرِ فَهُوَ غَالِطٌ فَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ يَجْرِي عَلَى أَحْكَامِهِ وَيَعْمَلْ عَلَى سُنَّتِهِ وَنِظَامِهِ وَيَتَّبِعُ النَّافِيَةَ فِي إِحْكَامِهِ وَإِبْرَامِهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعِينُ وَالْمُوَفِّقُ. And here the Shaykh, he concludes from what he said above, that whoever claims that he is a believer in the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet he has abandoned utilizing the beneficial means to achieve those things that a person is desiring or seeking in this world, whether they are asbab diniyah or dunyawiyah. Here again he's referring to the two types of means. Yani earlier he referred to them as hissiyah and ma'nawiyah and ruhaniyah. Here he referred to them as asbab diniyah and dunyawiyah. Yani worldly and religious means, spiritual, abstract, or physical means. He said, whoever claims that they believe in the qadr and they have abandoned these means, physical means and spiritual means, worldly means and religious means, they abandoned all of them. Allati alayha nizam al-qadr, which the nizam, the system, the concept of the belief, the creed of qadr is built upon these things, utilizing the means. They are part of what Allah has decreed. Whoever, yani, claims to believe in the qadr and then he doesn't utilize the means, then this person is in error. For indeed, the person who truly believes in the qadr, they abide by its rules, its ahkam, and they act in accordance with its sunnah and its nizam, its way, and they follow or pursue that which is beneficial in perfecting, completing and perfecting and establishing the divine decree that Allah has made. Yani the person who believes in the decree, then they, yani, abide by the ahkam of it, and they act upon the ways, yani, the sunnah of it, and they pursue, yani, those things which are beneficial. They utilize the beneficial means in order to complete and to perfect and to establish what Allah has decreed. And then the Shaykh says, Wallahu ma'in wal muwaffiq. And Allah is the one who helps, and Allah is the one who makes a person successful. And before I go on, I want to say here that the statement that the Shaykh makes here, and as Imam said in the after the Salat, before the class, he said that this is a scholar. This Imam is a great scholar, yani who's well known to the people of knowledge for his being meticulous. And when he writes, he doesn't use words, yani, just without a purpose. So him stopping here and saying, Wallahu mu'in wal muwaffaq, is a reminder to us that whatever we're trying to achieve, and we're utilizing the lawful and legislative means, whether they are religious means or material means, know for a fact Allah is the one who helps, and Allah is the one who grants success. There's no success except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh, he goes on to make another point related to this topic. He says, وَتَوْضِيحْ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ أَكْدَارُ اللَّهِ كُلَّهَا تَابِعَةٌ لِحَمْدِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ. That the things that Allah has decreed, all of them, all of Allah's decrees, yani the clarification of this matter, he's going a little bit further into the topic, the clarification of this matter is that everything that Allah has decreed, all of his decrees, are subject to and in accordance with حَمْدِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ. Yani they are subject to and they are in accordance with that which is praiseworthy, that which manifests the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani those things, due to those things, Allah is praised because of the excellence and the perfection of what Allah has decreed. And they are also in accordance with His hikmah, with Allah's hikmah. That is, and that these things are arranged and organized in a way that everything is in its proper place. So it says, just as the af'al of Allah Ta'ala, all of them are muhkama fi ghayat al-ihkam wal-intizam. And here he's comparing the af'al of Allah to what he's going to mention later, the af'al of the mukallifin, of the people who have been, yani, who have been assigned or commissioned, yani, to do certain things, became responsible to do things. Yani, a person who is responsible. Yani, not like a child who's not responsible, but those people who became responsible for certain duties. Here the Shaykh is saying what? That the af'al of Allah, the Most High, all of them are muhkama fi ghayat al-ihkam wal-intizam. Yani, all of them are precise and perfect to the fullest extent. And then he says, in between that, you don't see in the creation of Allah, in what Allah has created, any shortcoming, any defect, any instability. And likewise, in what Allah has legislated, yani in His law, in His creation, as well as in His law, you don't see anything that's pointless, that's foolish, that contradicts wisdom, that contradicts that which is beneficial or excellence. You see in what Allah has created, and you see in what Allah has legislated. Again, we're going back to these two aspects of the life and this of the world itself. That what Allah has created, that's His creation, and what Allah has legislated, that's His law. And there's no defect, no imperfection in any of it. So he said, just as the af'al of Allah, the actions of Allah, are perfect and precise, and there's no defect or shortcoming in them, likewise, the af'al al-mukallifin, diniyuha wa dunyawiyuha, ظاهر وباطن كلها تجري على وفق الحكمة والغايات الحميدة. So likewise, the actions of the people that Allah has made to be responsible for certain things. When a person reaches a certain age or whatever, then they became responsible. So whether it is in their religious affairs or in their worldly affairs, the actions in their worldly affairs and in their religious affairs, that which is apparent and that which is hidden, seen or unseen, all of it, whatever Allah has commanded the people with, whatever Allah has made the people responsible for, all of these actions are also in accordance to hikmah, wisdom, and the utmost degree of that which manifests the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they are also in accordance with His hikmah and His hamd. The actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the actions that Allah has legislated for the people, all of it is based upon hikmah, and all of it is praiseworthy. All of it is to achieve a praiseworthy end. And then the Shaykh says, and what also clarifies this point that he made in the beginning, that we discussed from the beginning, what also clarifies that is أَنَّهُ كُلُّ مَا عَظُمَ الْمَقْصُودُ وَكَثُرَتْ مَنَافِعُهُ وَمَصَالِحُهُ لَمْ يُمْكِنْ إِدْرَاكُهُ إِلَّا بِسُلُوكِ أَتْرُكَ الْمُفْضِيَّ إِلَيْهِ. And here the Shaykh is going to give an example which further clarifies what we're saying here. He said the greater is the objective or the goal. The greater is a goal or an objective. And the more it is, the more beneficial it is, then you find that a person will never be able to reach it except they travel upon the paths that lead to it. Meaning that everything that a person, every goal that a person wants to achieve has a path and has a means to achieve it. The greater that goal and the greater, the more is its benefit, the less possibility that a person can ever achieve it except they travel on the path that has been legislated for it and they utilize the means that has been legislated for it. Any whatever it is that a person wants to do, whatever it is that a person wants to achieve, they have to travel the path. At least if a person wants to go from one city to another city, there are roads that they have to travel. You can't go backwards or sideways and expect to get to the place ahead of you. You have to get on the road that leads to that place. You have to utilize the means that bring about that effect. So the Shaykh is saying here, the greater the goal and the more benefit it contains, the more unlikely or the greater the impossibility that a person can achieve that goal except that they travel the path that has been set forth. And then he gives the example. فَأَعْظَمُ الْمَقَاصِدِ عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ نَيْلُ رِضَى اللَّهِ وَالْفَوْزُ بِثَوَابِهِ وَسَلَامَةُ مِنْ إِخَابِهِ. The greatest goal, the greatest object, greatest goal that a person is seeking, objective that a person is seeking, عَلَى الْإِطْلَاقِ, without any exception, absolutely, is to achieve the pleasure of Allah, to earn His reward and to be saved from His punishment. There's no goal in life greater than this. And only a Muslim who believes in Allah and who understands Islam knows that. Because other people believe that getting rich or becoming famous or something else in this world is the greatest goal in their life. Some people want to be famous. Some people want to be rich. Some people want other things. But the greatest goal, without exception, is to earn the pleasure of Allah. Which means that if a person earns the pleasure of Allah, that they're going to get his reward and they're going to be saved from his punishment. بِإِذْنِ تَعَالَى. He said, concerning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ إِمَانٌ وَشُعْبَهُ الظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنَةُ. So Allah has made means to achieve this greatest goal. He has made means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like He decreed a person to achieve this goal of earning his pleasure, entering paradise or whatever, He also decreed along with it the means and the path that a person has to travel to achieve it. So the means that Allah has set to achieve the greatest objective, the greatest goal in this life, without exception, it is iman wa shu'bahu wa dhahir wa batina. That a person has iman and its branches, the branches of iman. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the branches of iman are what? 70 some odd branches. The highest of them is the saying La ilaha illallah. And the least of them is removing something harmful from the world. And yani al-haya is a shu'b of iman. It's a branch of iman. Having modesty, shyness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the shaykh is saying here that from the means, the path and the road that a person has to travel to achieve this greatest goal is to have iman and its branches, its apparent and its unseen branches. And in the branches of iman, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us with, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, whether it's from the actions of the heart which are not seen, or the actions of the body which people see. That this is the first means and the first path that a person travels to achieve this greatest goal. Secondly, he said, Al-Qiyam bi'ubudiyatillah. The second thing from the means and the path that Allah has legislated to achieve this greatest goal is that a person fulfill the obligation of worship of Allah. A person has iman, now they have to worship Allah. They have to actually worship Allah. The third thing he said, ikhlas ad-deen lahu. Yani that a person single out Allah, that the deen is for Allah alone. That the whole of this deen has to be for Allah alone. And the fourth thing he said, waluzum al-istiqama wa taqwa. That a person strictly adhere to, stick to, and does not deviate from al-istiqama, being upright, and al-taqwa, yani observing piety. Let me watch this time. Lavas. And then the shaykh, he says, closing this point, he says, جَعَلَهَا اللَّهُ تُرُقًا وَأَسْبَابًا تُوصِلْ إِلَيْهِ. Allah has made these things, the means, the road, the paths, and the means to reach that greatest objective, that greatest goal. The means are what? Iman and its branches, and fulfilling the obligation of worshipping Allah, making the deen purely for Allah alone, and adhering to being upright and being pious. Naam. Then the shaykh says, فَمَا لَمْ يَسْلُقْ الْعَبْدِ هَذَا السَّبِيلِ فَمَحَالٌ أَنْ يَصِلَ إِلَى رِضْوَانِ رَبِّهِ وَثَوَابِهِ. So if a person, as long as a person doesn't travel this path that Allah has set to reach this goal, it's impossible then that a person can reach the pleasure of Allah, the pleasure of their Rabb and His reward. It's impossible except by following this path. Then he says, فَاتِّكَالُ الْأَحْمَقُ عَلَى الْقَدْرِ بِدُونَ جِدْ وَالْإِجْتِهَادِ قَدْحٌ في القدر والشرع جميعا. يعني the stupid imbecile person who wants to rely upon the qadr without doing anything, making any effort. This is يعني a qadr, يعني a ta'an, is an insult to the qadr of Allah and the shar' of Allah. يعني it's an insult to what Allah has decreed, and it's an insult to what Allah has legislated, because Allah has decreed that you utilize the means, and He decreed the means along with the end result. And He has legislated that we follow certain laws. And when the person doesn't utilize these means, they don't act upon them, they don't do anything. But they just claim to rely upon, they believe in the qadr of Allah, that whatever Allah decreed is going to happen, I don't have to do anything. He said, this person is stupid, is an imbecile. And their doing so is, yani, really a rejection as being unacceptable, yani, as being useless. Yani what Allah has legislated and what Allah has decreed. Then the Shaykh says, yani follow up on that point, وكذلك المطالب الأخرى. And likewise, the same thing with any other objectives that a person has. Anything else that a person is seeking in this world, it's the same. Yani that you have to follow the path, you have to utilize the means in order to achieve it according to what is lawful and what Allah has legislated and what Allah has allowed. Like, for example, a person seeking knowledge, a person who wants to attain ilm. هل يمكن بغير جد والاجتهاد ومواصلة الأوقات في طلبه والسلوك الطرق المصحلة له؟ And is it possible that a person can achieve knowledge without working, without effort and struggle, without يعني spending one's time constantly, مواصلة الأوقات في طلبه, constantly seeking knowledge? Is a person going to achieve knowledge without that? Without working at it and seeking it constantly, without traveling the paths which make easy achieving that knowledge, like seeking the knowledge from its sources, from the people of knowledge. فمن قال إن قدر لي أدركت العلم اجتهدت أم لا فهو أحمق فهو أحمق. So whoever says, if it has been decreed for me, I will attain knowledge if I work at it or not, this person is an imbecile, is a fool, is a stupid person. كما قال بعضهم. طيب لا بس. We have one more session left, so if we don't finish this today, it's okay. The Shaykh, he says here, كما قال بعضهم, as it was said by some of them in this poetry, تمنيت أن تمسي فقيها مناظرا بغير عناء والجنون فنون وليس اكتساب المال دون مشكة تلقيتها فالعلم كيف يكون. You wished that you will reach the evening and you will be a faqih, a scholar of fiqh, and a munadhir, yani a person who can debate without any hardship or difficulty, and without any work or effort. Wal junoon funoon, and insanity is of all types. This is one of them. وَلَيْسَ اِكْتِسَابَ الْمَالِ دُونَ مَشَكَّةٍ تَلَقَّيْتَهَا, and the acquisition of wealth without any difficulty, without meeting any difficulty, is not going to happen. A person does not achieve wealth without any difficulty, without meeting some difficulty or hardship. فَالْعِلْمُ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. So what about knowledge? How will you achieve knowledge? Without some work, without effort, without meeting some difficulties, without losing some sleep at night, staying up, studying, reading, traveling to scholars. It requires some effort. It requires some effort. So then the Shaykh closes this portion by saying, وَهَكَذَا مَنْ تَرَكَ الزَّوَاجِ وقال إن قدر لي أولاد حصلوا تزوجت أو تركته. يعني likewise, it is the same for a person who abandons marriage. And of course we're talking about in Islam, right? Because any of the kuffar, they don't have any rules or laws, right? They're like animals. I mean, no, I'm not going to say like animals, because that is يعني unfair to the animals. But the point here, what? that what about a person who abandons marriage and says, if it has been decreed for me to have children, I will have children, whether I marry or not. That's not going to happen. وَمَنْ رَجَعْ حُصُولْ ثَمَرٍ وَزَرْعٍ بِغَيْرِ حَرْفٍ وَسَقٍ وَعَمَلٍ مُتَّقِلًا عَلَى الْقَدْرِ فَهُوَ أَحْمَقْ مَجْنُونٌ. And likewise, the person who has hope in يعني, acquiring fruits and crops without plowing the land, without watering the land, without working, but rather just depending on Allah has decreed it for me. This person is not only stupid, but he's also insane. وَهَكَذَا سَاعِرُ الْأَشْيَاءِ دَقِيقُهَا وَجَلِيلُهَا. And it is the same for all other affairs, the smaller of them or the greater of them. Yani, a person will not achieve except by utilizing the means and traveling the paths and depending upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here the shaykh, he says, and we're going to just read a little bit more and then stop, inshallah, because it's time for the adhan. And we'll complete yani, what remains later, what we have for next week. So the shaykh, he says, and he, from all of what has preceded, فَعُلِمَ أَنَّ الْقِيَامِ بِالْأَسْبَابِ النَّافِعَةِ وَاَعْتِقَادَ نَفَعِهَا دَاخِلٌ بِقَضَاءِ لَا يُقَدْرِهِ. So it became known that a person utilizing the beneficial means and believing that they are beneficial, yani not just utilizing means that you think have no benefit. No, these means have benefit. Utilizing them and believing that they have benefit because Allah has legislated them or Allah has made them lawful. All of this is part of the qada of Allah and His qadr, what Allah has decreed and what Allah has executed in His creation, to the contrary to the one who just wants to yani be content with laziness, doing nothing. والسكون مع القدرة على الحركة هو جنون. Yani the person who doesn't move, who has no action, while they have the ability to move, to do something, this person is insane. And then the Shaykh, he quotes this poetry, and this is what we're going to stop with. He says, indeed the saying of the person in the following poetry, هو غالط فاحش. This is a horrible, yani error and mistake. Horrible error and mistake. جرى قلم قضاء بما يكون فسيان التحرك والسكون جنون منك أن تسعى لرزق ويرزق في غشاوته الجنين. يعني that the pen of the divine decree has written, has finished what will be. It has written what will be. فسيان التحرك والسكون. So it is the same if a person moves or remains still, if a person acts or does nothing. And since the divine decree, it has what everything that's going to be is already written, therefore it's the same if you do something or do nothing. And this person is insane. He says, but he says, جُنُون مِنْكَ أَنْ تَسْعَ لِرِزْقٍ. It's crazy for you to go and work to try to get your sustenance, while the fetus or the embryo is in the womb of the mother in its covering, being provided for. Yani if the fetus is in the womb doing nothing and its provisions is coming to it, then you are insane to go out and work to seek your provisions. He said, this person who said this is ghalat fahish. This is the evil, horrible error and mistake. Indeed, this qiyas, this comparison that this person has made here, comparing the qadir ala al-haraka, al-ma'umur biha ala al-ajiz an al-haraka, qiyas ajib ghareeb. And comparing the person who has the ability to do and who has been commanded to act with one that has no ability to move or do anything. This is a qiyas that is ajib and ghareeb. Yani it's strange, it's odd. وَلَوْ أَنَّ هَذَا الشَّارِ قَاسَ مَنْ تَعَذَّرَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْحَرَكَةِ وَالْأَسْبَابِ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهٍ عَلَى هَذَا لَكَانَ حَسَنًا مُطَابِقًا. We're going to stop with this. He said that if this poet had made a comparison, a qiyas, between the one who has difficulty or is impossible for that person to do anything, to move, and to utilize the means, yani they are incapable from every angle, if they had compared such a person to the fetus in the womb, this would have been a qiyas, a comparison that is acceptable and fitting. Naam. The Shaykh, next week inshallah we read what he says here after this, he says, and if this has become clear to us, that utilizing the means is in accordance with the qadha of Allah, then and that it is impossible for a person to have correct iman and qadha without utilizing the means, then the question is, what is the best road for a person to travel after they came to know this? What is the best road for a person to travel after they came to know this? So we're going to stop here, and next week inshallah we read what he says concerning this. It's not that much remaining, but we'll stop anyway. Inshallah. And next week inshallah we're going to be our final session bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We're going to read from Shaykh Abdul Razak some of the things that he said, especially the topic of the importance of tawakkul being based upon knowledge of Allah and knowledge of Allah's names and sifat, and also the benefit of the adhkar and the ad'iyah that a person recites for certain occasions, or that they recite in general, that have been legislated in the sunnah, the effect of this in strengthening and solidifying a person's tawakkul ala Allah. And in these two points especially, and some points in between he discussed, we'll discuss them next week with what remains here. And I think, there were a couple of questions in the study guide for today that we didn't cover. The 6 and 7... Yeah, 6 and 7, so inshallah we'll add them to the study guide for next week. بإذن الله تعالى. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.